Welcome to Vision is More Than 2020, a podcast aimed at talking about your vision, your eyes, and how they play a role in overall visual and systemic function. Dr. Zelnicki and Lekowsky, with the help of various guests, will work to help you understand more about your visual system and all the pieces to the vision puzzle.
Many people today spend a lot of time looking at screens like phones, tablets, and computers. The high visual demands of screen usage can make us feel tired and stressed. ScreenFit is a six-week vision wellness program made by eye doctors to help develop healthy visual habits and relieve the stress that screens can place on our visual system. By learning about how to take care of our eyes and using helpful tips, we can improve our well-being and get more done. If you spend a lot of time looking at screens, you owe it to yourself to try ScreenFit. You can visit www.screenfit.com to learn more and receive 10% off any program enrollment by using our promo code VIMT10.
Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of Vision is More Than 2020. Before Dr. L joins me and introduces our guest for this week, I just want to do our weekly insight, which is that we are introducing the Todos Group, created by Colleen Cushing. She has been working on building a community for entrepreneurial optometrists and industry partners. Watch for great content, access to new technologies, and a growing space for independent optometrists who want to build the business of their dreams. And it really is going to be such a wonderful community that she is building through the Todos Group. And you can visit her website at www.todosgroup, TODOS.group. And we're just so excited to be partnered with Todos Group and can't wait for all that's to come.
So for today's episode, we are so excited to be joined by TJ Wagoner. He has been developing medical devices for approximately 10 years. He has an undergraduate degree in psychology, a master's of business administration, and a master's of industrial organizational psychology from the University of West Florida. TJ has completed his coursework for a PhD in organizational behavior, but he continues the painful process of checking all the boxes to finally obtain his PhD from Claremont Graduate University. You may be wondering how TJ fell into ophthalmic medical devices, and he owes the pleasure to his awesome father, Dr. Terrence Wagoner. TJ believes that not having an educational background in engineering or medicine has allowed him to think outside the box and create devices where other individuals saw too many constraints. Welcome to the podcast, TJ. We are so excited to have you join us today. And to kick things off, give a little introduction of yourself and Wagoner Diagnostics and how you got involved with them and everything about you.
Absolutely. So again, my name is TJ Wagoner. Thank you so much for having me, ladies. I mean, I am absolutely thrilled to be here, especially talking about something I'm extremely passionate about, which is color vision and raising that awareness on just some of the difficulties we have as children, as adults, and also how to utilize our tests to hopefully improve patient outcomes overall. So again, I'm the CEO of Wagoner Diagnostics. It is a family business. It was started by my father about 30 years ago when he first came out with Color Vision Testing Made Easy, which is our pediatric color vision test. It's star, circle, and square. And really at the end of the day, the reason that I got into this was because at 6 years old, I came home from school with a note from the nurse. I think you all can see where this is going. I see a big smile on Dr. Z's face. So I come home and give my dad, you know, my parents a note and said, your son is colorblind. And my dad, being an optometrist, was like, we just thought he was eccentric, that he liked to dress in pink. And, well, I did think it was red. So there was that, but there was lots of different things. And he thought, you know, what? Why did he not get tested for this before, you know, because he had taken me to a pediatric optometrist. And so he went and said, hey, what happened here? Why did we not see this? And they said, you know, they just don't know their numbers yet, you know, for the Ishihara. It's a little bit too long and they get bored and they, you know, get misdiagnosed. So he went ahead and started learning all he could about color vision and created the first pediatric color vision test, which is the Color Vision Test Made Easy. And it's just star, circle, and squares. And now it's used by the World Special Olympics. It's used by school nurses, lots of them in the U.S. And that's how my dad started getting into color vision. And then I did not join the business at six. It was during my grad studies, which I have a master's of industrial organizational psych and an MBA. And I thought, you know, I wonder if we can look at what my dad's doing and make it a little better. Could we make a better test, a better mouse trap? And, you know, I was thankful enough that he did say, allow me that opportunity to, you know, kind of show me what he did. And I thought, I think we can do this. And that's when we started collaborating together on creating the Wagner computerized color vision test, which takes it from a screening of red and green deficiencies all the way to a diagnostic of red, green, and blue, also known as protan, dutan, and tritan. And we'll dive into that a little bit later. And created the Wagner CCVT, and we created it together. So that I started learning how to create color vision tests and how it affected me as somebody who's color vision deficient in the world. So that's what how we got into it. It's a family business. And so it touches home, obviously, and we really enjoy it. It was a great for me because I really enjoyed working with my dad. He's not as part of it as much as I'd like him to anymore. He's retired. He's enjoying that life. But it definitely brought us closer together, which was really important to me, too. So that's how we started Wagner Diagnostics, and excited to talk more about color vision today.
Yeah, I love that story. I think it makes a difference when you're so invested, right? Your dad was invested because it was his son and he was like, I need to do better. And for you, you're passionate because you're living it and you want to identify kids as early as possible and also, you know, help people understand their color vision deficiencies better, right? Because someone 25 years ago might've just said, oh, you're quote unquote colorblind, right? But they have no other understanding of what that means at this point. But your testing can help identify, is it strong? Is it weak? Where do I fall on the spectrum? Which is, I think, really important. And especially for someone that is suffering from color vision deficiency, it might feel very validating to say like, oh, this is actually what is going on with my my eyes and my vision. So let's talk a little bit about color vision and color vision deficiencies, because I think there's that misconception that if you have a color vision deficiency that you see the world in black and white. But you can talk from personal experience, like what does your world look like, and delve a little bit further into those different color vision deficiencies if you can.
Absolutely. Great question. And so first of all, let's go ahead and just talk about the word colorblind and color vision deficiency. With 99.9% of the population and people, they use them synonymously. These are separate. They're different words. Colorblind is really black, white, and shades of gray. It is very rare to have this. However, throughout our discussions today, I will say colorblind as if a color vision deficiency, because it's easy for most people just to understand. But a color vision deficiency is really actually, you don't just see black and white. What you have is a different set of colors on how to see the world. So this question is fantastic, and it leads to my analogy on how do we see the world. And my favorite analogy is really it comes down to having a paint palette, okay? And as somebody, I'm not into art, and I love seeing art, but I cannot create art. You have your blue, your green, and your red, okay? Everybody has those same three colors that has normal color vision. And when they're looking at the world, they're perceiving that, it's entering their eyes. Those color, the same exact amount of the blue and the green are being mixed to create your color that you see in everybody that's normal, that has normal color vision deficiency. Normal color vision. Now, if you have a color vision deficiency, really, let's now go ahead and add numbers to this. So instead of just blue, green, and red, we'll do 420, which means nanometer wavelengths, and then 530 for green, and 560 for red. So you'll notice that blue is a little bit further out. It's at 420, where green and red are 530 and 560. So oftentimes you hear people say they're red-green colorblind. Well, as a matter of fact, they're either red or they're green, but they're so close together that our screening tools just basically say red-green, okay? So now let's go ahead and somebody like myself who's severe, I am a severe Dutan, so severely green weak. What happens here is instead of 530 and 560, maybe I'm 550 and 560. So there's going to be more overlap of those things those colors. So now you're all using, you know, the right colors when you're creating your thing. Well, I'm literally going from a paint palette that has a different color than you all, because it's not, I have not, my tone which is what that creates that color, that opsin inside, shifts over and it becomes closer to the red. My green does, right? So if you have a red deficiency, it shifts over towards the green. So really, we're just using different colors to see the world. So I don't like to, you know, say deficiency or a weakness. Really, at the end of the day, it's just seeing the world in a different way. It's a different perception because we do have superpowers. That's seeing camouflage, because we don't look for color. We look for weird, different patterns or things like that. So that tells you a little bit about, you know, how we see the world is we're really just mixing colors up differently. Now, the thing is, there are different types of deficiencies and severities. So when we're talking about that, now your cones can shift. So you have all three cones, but then there's also where you're just missing a cone completely. So if you are a dichromat, di standing for two, chromat for color. Now, what are we going to do? We're actually maybe missing our green. So we're only working with blues and reds now. So, you know, the more cones you're missing, the more shifts there are, the more severe the deficiency is. Does that answer your question? Is there anything you want me to touch back
on?
No,
I think that was perfectly stated. And I think, like I said, I think the real big take home point here is that not all color vision deficiencies are the same. You can, you know, you can have a support group with 20 people in the room and one may be weaker or stronger, or, you know, there's all different, there's a varying spectrum of color vision deficiencies. And I think that's the real take home point that you did so eloquently, right, Dr. L?
Right. I love that very thorough explanation. And that really hit home to, you know, Dr. Z and I, we have normal color vision. So for us, I really love that explanation. And I'm going to take some of that to better explain to my own patients exactly what's going on when they have a color vision deficiency. I know my stepdad has a red-green deficiency, and I'm always picking his brain on like how the world looks to him because I'm so curious. And he similarly describes that the red and greens just look so similar to each other that he has a hard time differentiating them. The biggest impact it's had in his life is just he has a hard time matching his shirts and pants. But my mom has really helped streamline his closet and help him so that it's not really too much of an issue. But color vision deficiencies can have a really big impact on our patients, both children and adults alike. And early detection is so key to help them understand what's going on. And just talk a little bit, especially from your personal experience, about the impact of having a color vision deficiency and how that's affected your life and how it can affect others.
Yeah, that. So I love this because this is really where we're starting to understand the why. Why is it important to test early? Because oftentimes I will hear, well, I mean, okay, so I find out they have a red-green color blindness or something. What am I going to do? Right? There's no treatment. There's no cure. There's no this, that, the other. What am I going to do? Well, you know, my background's in psych. So self-fulfilling prophecy is something that I understand quite well. And that's basically the belief that, you know, if somebody thinks that you're not as smart, they treat you in a way that as if you're not as smart, and that can lead to bad outcomes. So self-fulfilling prophecy for young kids, a child is color vision deficient, color blind. They go into school, they're 6 years old. Hey, they're really having a hard time with their colors. They just, it's not clicking for them. They're getting poor. First of all, they're getting less score, you know, worse results. They're not getting 100, they're getting an 80. So they're getting a B instead. And now is this going to transfer over into their numbers? And this is what the teachers might think. And they will teach them in a different way. There's tons of peer-reviewed science on this. And we don't necessarily have the equal, like the best opportunity after that. And I mean, you all know the same goes with our visual acuity. You know, a child sitting in the back that doesn't have, can't see the board, they're more likely to get in trouble. So they're labeled as a troublemaker. They're not going to get as good enough grades. It had nothing to do. It's the fact that they can't see it. Right. And then the teacher treats them in a different way. So it's really important, not just from that aspect, but to let the teachers know from a child standpoint, but also what are the coping mechanisms to allow us to be more successful, right? As colorblind people in the society. So the, you know, you mentioned, Dr. L, your, dad, he goes at your dad, right? You said,
yeah.
Okay. You know, your mom helped set up his clothes. Well, I will tell you right now, I have a shirt and a pair of pants that I will almost always wear together because I know they fit. Right. And I've been told once, so that's kind of my go-to. So I don't have probably a lot of spice up in my life when it comes to dressing differently, because I have dressed and people are like, so that's a whole lot of blue. Cause I just think if blue and blue, it kind of works for me. And they're like, that's a lot of blue going. Well, I don't know how to mix another color to make it look good. And there's just all these coping mechanisms, right? So once you find out your child is color vision deficient, or, you know, you send crayons with the actual color name on it, you know, things like that. The teacher, once they know, they can go ahead and do things on the whiteboard in different colors that have more contrast. So there's so many different things that we can set up our kids for success because we know their color vision deficient. Now, when it comes to being an adult, you know, now you're looking at how do you cook your meat, how ripe vegetables, ripe fruits. How do we tell? I have the touch test for when it comes to ripeness. But the one thing that I really always love to bring up is occupational health testing and color vision. A lot of people are like, well, why is color really that important? Well, for example, in healthcare, okay, you all are looking in the back of the eye. You all, you know, there's a lot of reds. There's a lot of, you know, and there's small. That is a miserable task for somebody who's color vision deficient to see discoloration, right? So I think it's 65% of doctors and nurses have a difficult time identifying jaundice. So think about rashes, sunburns. I can't tell I'm getting a sunburn until I feel it. And then I go, oh goodness. And I do my touch test. I pull it off and I see that contrast, that change. I know I'm being burnt. So it's just teaching and having these coping mechanisms to create a better life and to make sure we're safe and we're cooking our meats properly and all that.
A few things. I think on the pediatric note, it's interesting because my daughter is in pre-K and going into kindergarten next year. And so much of her learning currently is focused around utilizing colors to identify things and to categorize things, right? Just in their teaching. So I can imagine a child who isn't identified, it would appear that they don't understand the material when really it's more based on the color. And I actually was just writing an article for Eyes on Eye Care and about, it was like a pediatric guide. And I was referencing the AOA guide. And it was saying about color vision that this really isn't a test that we can do until they're 5 or 6 reliably. But you're here to change that. We should get on the horn of messaging the AOA to change their big guide that there's a resource for testing younger. But yeah. I think, like you said, it's so important from an elementary standpoint to identify early because there's so much of their education is based on those colors. And as an adult, right, you said you make those decisions. But if a child, you know, as the child is growing, right, we can talk to them about potential challenges in the workplace that they may be interested in. You know, we don't ever want to say to someone, no, you can't do that, but maybe we could guide them in a way to be more successful professionally without ruining their dreams, you know. And I think having those conversations, open and honest conversations with the patients early, they can really figure out what would best suit them.
Absolutely. You really hit it on the head there. And I'm so grateful you did because, you know, when we're doing the occupational health test for nurses, right? If you have a color vision deficiency, even though it's severe, we still, you went to school to be a nurse, you're most likely an incredible nurse. However, when you go in and you're looking for a stage 1 pressure ulcer or a rash, you might, you know, there's so many things like, hey, have you seen any discolorations that you'd like me to take a look at? You know, there's just coping. That's a great way. Or, you know what? Patient care is really important to me. I'd love to get a second opinion. Do you mind if I bring somebody? I mean, you don't have to say I'm colorblind and I can't see these things. It's just making sure just make sure you're doing the right thing to ensure patient outcome, you know, safety is there. But you also talk about it from a child's standpoint on what they can do. Really, they can do anything that they want. With the exception of maybe flying. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's also endangering their lives, right? If you're flying something at 700 miles per hour and you can't tell the difference between red and green that quickly, you press a button at the wrong time, lots of things. So it's not to ruin their dreams, which unfortunately we have been known to do for people who want to be pilots. It's saving your life is really what we're doing. We're making sure you're not hurting, you're going to hurt yourself and hurt the others that are on that plane. So, you know, there's lots of science, lots of clinical research to ensure the safety. So something that we did do from an occupational health standpoint is in the military, you used to not be able to fly if you had a color vision deficiency at all. But because of incredible research of the researchers, the MD, you know, all of them, they now allow mild deficients to fly. And that just happened within the past few years. And it's based on the precision color vision test that is our Wagner CCVT, along with two other really great tests that are out there.
I think that's so wonderful that you're really opening the doors and opportunities for people to not squash their dreams and really teach them how they can still achieve what they want to and teach them coping mechanisms. And I really want to dive in and talk about your color vision testing because you have a plethora of options and the tests that you've developed are very unique and different than others that were previously available to us as optometrists. So let's go through how your color vision testing is different and all the various options that you provide.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our booklet tests. This is going to be pretty well aligned with our traditional books, right? Ishihara, HR, things of this nature. Color vision testing made easy is fantastic for pediatrics, but it is not diagnostic. It's just saying yes or no for red-green color vision deficiencies, and we can't tell you which one. The Wagner PIP 24, we're really proud of that one. It's if you enter the U.S. military, you will take that test. But I will say, in difference to Ishihara, it's pretty comparable. So it's not adding any additional value to necessarily to your practice than an Ishihara. Now, when it what I do get really excited about and why is the Wagner computerized color vision test. This is the one that, in my opinion, is going to truly improve the patient outcomes. And there's several reasons why. First of all, it is an extended slash diagnostic color vision test. So that means two things. One, it's reimbursable. So, you know, that's an important aspect. You know, I know people are like, well, it is about healthcare outcomes, and it 100% is. It always needs to be about the patient and improving outcomes. However, we also know as optometrists and business owners, you have to make money and you have to be able to, you know, put food on the table, things like that. So the CPT 92283 is a very excellent thing because it's a $55 national average reimbursement, which is awesome. Dr. L, is that what you're guessing? If you had to guess what it was before I just said that, I usually ask that question. I should have asked it. What would you think?
I was thinking 25 in my head when you were talking.
Okay, cool. And what about you, Dr. L?
Yeah, I would have said between like 30 and 40.
Okay.
So that's higher than expected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you really take a look at it, what are your visual fields costing these days? Right. And that's about a $65 reimbursement. You start looking at OCT, all these things at 55, you know, our software only is only $1,000, but, and you can put it on your Windows computer and put it in your office. And now you have a reimbursable test more, you know, that's very affordable. But what really gets me excited, is the diagnostic aspect, as well as the fact that we are testing for three different types of deficiencies. Again, I mentioned we're looking at protan, which is your red weakness, dutan, which is your green weakness, and last is this blue weakness called tritan. Now, a lot of people are like, well, genetics, from a genetic disposition, you're not likely to get a tritan, and they're absolutely right. So 8% of men that are color vision deficient have a red, it's mostly red-green. However, when it comes to blue, now I'm going to ask a question. Let's see. And again, if you could guess the general population, a percentage that has an acquired defect, which is most likely blue, what would you say it is?
A 60 to 70-year-old male.
Okay, sorry, percentage. But 60 to 70, they are much more likely to have it because I understand where you came from that.
But percentage, 12%.
Okay. Dr. L, you want to throw one in there?
Sure. I'm going to say 5%.
Okay. So it actually, the general population, 15% has an acquired defect. Now, the reason is this, the top four leading causes of blindness, they all can cause an acquired defect. Okay. Glaucoma and macular degeneration specifically, they actually are subclinical to any structural issues. Right. So you will start seeing an acquired defect before you see anything structurally. Now, cataracts and diabetic retinopathy, right? It can happen a little bit later. So again, this is an acquired defect is a red flag for the top four leading causes of blindness, right? And it's reimbursed. So we're able to do not just the preventative for a child to help make sure they're successful as a student, but we're also now able to do hopefully find preventative medicine, say, hey, there's a functional issue here. We have an acquired defect. We see that it's only affecting one eye over the other. We need to start digging. Because one thing I read the other day in a peer-reviewed article was that Parkinson's can cause an acquired color vision deficiency up to 20 years prior to the onset of Parkinson's.
Wow.
Mind blown. Like I saw that and I was like, okay, peer-reviewed, good journal, not third tier, fourth. Like, okay, that's a little nugget that I'm going to definitely share because it blew my mind. So you can see why now not only do we help identify it, but now what we can also do is measure the progression of it because we do tell you mild, moderate, severe. So as long as you have a good baseline using the Wagner CCVT or another diagnostic test, in the future, you can take a look and go, hey, they actually got a little less on the triton. So maybe we're not managing it properly. Or maybe ocular toxicity from Plaquenil and all the other substances that can cause this. So that is what gets me really excited because it's not just looking at this genetic, which is important to set up our children for success, but it's truly improving patient outcomes by catching glaucoma earlier than we did and all that. So that's why I'm really excited about the Wagner computerized color vision test and the two others that are out there and why I'm out here trying to raise awareness about it. Whether it's mine or a different, I don't care. It's just, I think it adds value.
No, it absolutely does. No, it really does. And you're really taking care of the whole spectrum. And at the end of the day, it's all about preventative care and understanding our patients better. And that's all the key. The last piece to this is, and what I think is important about your testing is that it's accepted by the government, right? We have patients that come in and say, like, I want to join the Navy, the Coast Guard. I want to be a pilot. I need this preliminary testing, and your tests are accepted. So just talk quickly about how that process went and how, you know, just to show how validating your tests are.
Yeah, absolutely. So validation, the original validation with the Wagner computerized color vision test took about 2 years by the U.S. Navy. And basically they went ahead and oftentimes the U.S. militaries do not actually publish to peer reviewed, but they will go and present. So it was first presented at the ASMA, which is the Aerospace Medical Association conference. That's think about chief medical officers or air surgeon, general surgeon of all the countries in the world coming and deciding what the standards are for flying, visual acuity, contrast sensitivity, all these different things. And so they presented it there. So first it took us about 6 months to a year to even create this test. Then we had the validation process with the military, but we've also done it with the Army now. Oh goodness gracious. We have a document with all of our studies, but at the end of the day, what was really, really important to us was having it validated by a third party. We have several competitors out there, two of them that I speak very highly of. I think they're great tests, but I will also say they were originally validated by the person creating the test. Administrator bias when doing experimental clinical trials is real. So again, I don't believe they did anything wrong. I do believe in their test, but that was very important to us to say we want it third party validated. We don't want to be a part of it. That way we are not saying yes, it works great, because we don't love failure. But if it were to come back like that and we now know, we can make it better. But that fortunately that wasn't the case. And we showed to be 98% comparable in sensitivity to the anomaloscope, which is has always been the gold standard, and 100% comparable to the anomaloscope from a specificity standpoint. So we're really proud of that. It's trial and error, and that's what it comes down to. And so from the process of getting accepted, once they saw that it worked better, that we might be able to also, increase the number of pilots that can be people that can become pilots, because it's such a, expensive journey. It's, I think, $1 million to get them trained. They want to make sure that the best of the best are doing it. And so that was part of the validation process. And now We've got universities, we've got all these company, you know, organizations, institutions continuing to validate and use it in their clinical trials for things.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so excited to see where this company goes to the future. And I really want to thank you for taking the time to join us this morning and allowing us to be part of this very important conversation and bringing this information to our listeners. And I know for me personally, I glean so much information from talking with you and things that I can incorporate into my conversations with patients to help better explain to them their color vision deficiencies and how to cope. And even adding in more color vision testing in my adult patients to pick up on those early diseases. You know, I think Dr. Z and I always think when a young boy comes in, let's check their color vision. But with those older patients, it's not always something that's part of our repertoire. And definitely something that I want to add more into because I think that's really exciting science that's out there that's showing that it can really help in early detection, which is key in any of those disease processes. So I really want to thank you for coming on and sharing your wealth of knowledge. And for anyone listening who wants to talk to you more or learn more about you and find your company, where can they find you?
Absolutely. So again, our number one thing is just raising awareness and educating people. So please, you have any questions about color vision, how to add it to your practice. If you're a parent with a child who's color, please, you can take a look at www.wagonerdiagnostics.com. That is our e-commerce site. So it's more about purchases. So another good one is www.colorvisiontesting.com. And that's going to have what the types of deficiencies, percentages, tips for school nurses, tips for parents, lots of things like that. So it's more of an educational and informational site.
Wonderful. So I will link all that in our show notes. And for our listeners, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Follow us at Twin Forks Optometry on Facebook and Instagram. Join our private Facebook group, Vision is More Than 2020. Subscribe, download, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Tune in next week to learn more about your vision.